Welcome to the deep dive. I'm so glad you could join us today because our mission is to explore a massive fundamental transformation that is happening right under our feet. And honestly, right on your daily commute.
Right. It's an entirely new way of thinking about how cities move.
Exactly. I'm your host, and joined by our resident expert, we are going to break down exactly how this works. We're looking at the strategic through line of transit innovation.
Yeah, and thanks for having me, because this isn't just about, you know, updating a bus schedule or adding new train lines. We're talking about a complete paradigm shift in the invisible architecture of public transportation.
To guide us on this journey, we have a really fantastic stack of sources today. First, we're pulling from a highly forward-looking article by the Urban Institute. That one looks specifically at artificial intelligence in public transit.
Very eye-opening piece.
It really is. We also have a deeply insightful piece from UITP. That's the International Association of Public Transport, and that is all about data-driven mobility,
which is the foundation of all of this.
Right. And then, my personal favorite, we have a fascinating real-world document. It is a request for information, or RFI, straight from the city of Oakland, detailing exactly how they are actively procuring AI pilot projects right now.
It is a phenomenal mix of high-level theory and boots-on-the-ground reality. I mean, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the core premise we are exploring today relies on a specific triad: data, AI, and governance.
Yes, the big three.
Exactly. And whether you are a daily commuter just trying to get to work on time, or an urban planner designing the next decade of infrastructure, or simply a taxpayer wondering how your city's budget is being spent, this affects you.
It absolutely does.
We are entering an era where data redefines mobility, AI extracts the hidden value from that data, and strict governance frameworks keep the whole thing from going off the rails.
I love that framing.
The decisions being made right now by transit boards regarding what technology they buy, and more importantly, how they control it, will literally shape the physical and digital landscape of where you live.
Okay, let's unpack this. We have to start with the raw fuel of this entire revolution, which is the data.
We do. And the UITP source lays out a profound shift in thinking regarding that data. They explain that public transport has historically been viewed simply as mass movement.
Like just getting people from point A to point B.
Right. The goal was just getting 50 people down a single corridor at once. But data has evolved that focus completely. It is no longer just about the bus route. It is about the complete door-to-door experience for the individual passenger.
I've always loved that concept of seamless mobility. It's the idea that your journey doesn't start when you step on the bus. It starts when you lock your front door, and it ends when you sit down at your desk.
Exactly.
But from a practical standpoint, we have all had that moment, right? You're standing in the freezing rain. You're checking a transit app that says the bus is arriving in 1 minute.
And you stand there for 10 minutes.
Yes. You stand there, and the bus never shows up, the dreaded ghost bus. How does this new approach to data actually fix that?
So fixing the ghost bus requires immense data standardization. The UITP highlights the IP4MAS project, which stands for Mobility as a Service. What they found is that the quality of your physical mobility experience is intrinsically linked to the availability of effective digital applications.
Okay, so the app is just as important as the bus.
Precisely. Think about a typical morning commute. You might ride a bike share to the subway station, take the train across town, and then hop on a local bus.
A very standard multimodal trip.
Right. But if the data from the city buses, the subway network, and the private bike share program aren't speaking the exact same standardized digital language, you cannot have a truly connected, seamless app to guide you.
Because the systems are siloed.
Yes. The app can't tell you that your train is delayed, so you should hold onto the bike a little longer. Data standardization is the invisible glue holding the modern commute together.
That makes so much sense. And that brings us to another huge shift the UITP talks about, which is account-based ticketing, or ABT.
Oh, this is a game changer.
I remember the old way of doing things. You buy a paper ticket, or you load $20 onto a specific transit card, and that card only works for one specific train system. Yeah. If you switch to a different network, you need a different card entirely.
Account-based ticketing changes all of that by removing the physical ticket entirely. It is replaced by digital tokens and a personal travel account in the cloud.
So your phone is basically your ticket.
Exactly. That account becomes a digital key that unlocks the entire urban transport network. You just tap your phone or your smartwatch, and the system figures out the best fare across multiple different modes of transit automatically.
That is huge. It removes the psychological and financial friction of having to understand complex fare zones just to get across town.
It really does.
So the ticketing is digitized, but what about the vehicles themselves? I know the research mentions the EBRT 2030 project, which focuses on the next generation of electric buses. Are we just talking about a regular bus with a massive battery instead of a gas tank?
Far from it. These new electric buses are equipped with what the industry calls smart, interoperable IoT monitoring platforms.
IoT meaning the Internet of Things.
Yes, which basically means the bus is constantly connected to the Internet, acting as a sophisticated data node. It is constantly streaming real-time data about its battery health, its passenger load, the ambient traffic around it, and even the local power grid capacity.
That is a staggering amount of information coming from a single vehicle.
It is, and it allows the transit system to optimize routes dynamically. They can ensure that buses are charged precisely when needed without overwhelming the local power grid during peak hours.
So for you listening, this translates directly to shorter wait times and reliable service. When the app says the bus is coming in 3 minutes, the system actually knows where it is, knows it has enough battery to finish the route, and guarantees it is actually coming in 3 minutes.
Right. Data is the foundation. But raw data sitting in a server doesn't do anything on its own. You need an engine to process it, understand it, and act on it at a speed human dispatchers simply cannot achieve.
If data is the fuel, then artificial intelligence is the engine.
Perfect analogy.
That takes us perfectly into our second source, the Urban Institute article. This is where we see AI acting on the front lines of transit to extract real, tangible value from all that streaming data.
We are starting to see some incredible operational wins here.
I was reading through the examples in the report, and the impact on paratransit services really stood out to me. Historically, if you relied on paratransit, which are specialized door-to-door transit services for people with disabilities, you often had to book your ride a full 24 hours in advance.
Which is incredibly limiting.
Imagine having to know exactly when you need to go to the pharmacy or the grocery store an entire day ahead of time. You have zero spontaneity.
Integrating AI has completely flipped that model. These agencies are dealing with massive logistical puzzles. They are matching dozens of specific vehicles with hundreds of varying passenger needs and traffic patterns.
It's too much math for a human to do on the fly.
Exactly. By letting AI handle the routing and dispatching, they have improved efficiency so dramatically that many can now support same-day reservations. AI is literally giving people their independence back.
Another one I found fascinating is transit signal prioritization.
This is a brilliant use of the technology. The AI is essentially talking directly to the city traffic lights. It tracks the bus, knows exactly how many passengers are on board, and knows if the bus is running behind schedule.
And it changes the light.
It'll actually keep a light green just a few seconds longer to let that bus get through the intersection.
That cuts down on idling times, keeps the schedule intact, and reduces emissions all at once.
That's incredible.
Okay.
And what about predictive maintenance? I assume this ties back to those IoT sensors on the electric buses we mentioned earlier.
It does. Instead of waiting for a bus axle to break down on the side of the road and leaving passengers stranded, AI analyzes the vibration and temperature data from the sensors to identify a failing part before it actually breaks.
So they fix it before it becomes a problem. The mechanics pull the bus into the depot and fix it before anyone even knows there was a problem.
It sounds like magic. But the Urban Institute piece makes a really interesting pivot here. They point out that while all this high-tech dispatching and routing is fantastic, transit agencies really have to get back to basics.
This is a crucial reality check for any transit board. When you survey transit riders, the things they care about most consistently are frequency, reliability, cost, and cleanliness.
The fundamentals.
Right. We've talked about how AI improves frequency and reliability through routing, but affordability and cleanliness are just as vital to the passenger experience.
The Urban Institute proposes an elegant solution for affordability. Instead of making low-income riders navigate complex bureaucratic applications to get a reduced fare card, transit agencies could use AI to automatically cross-reference municipal data and auto-enroll eligible riders.
It's proactive rather than reactive.
Exactly. For example, if someone is already approved for SNIP benefits, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, the AI securely auto-matches their profile and just sends them the reduced-rate transit card. No friction, no secondary applications, no red tape.
It removes the barrier to entry for the people who need the service the most. And regarding cleanliness, instead of relying on an arbitrary, static cleaning schedule, like mandating that someone sweeps the station every 4 hours, regardless of foot traffic, you use AI to monitor the station environments.
How does that work in practice?
The system alerts staff the very moment cleanliness drops below established standards. It optimizes the cleaning staff allocation dynamically, based on actual real-time need rather than a clipboard schedule.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Everything we just described sounds like a utopian dream. Perfect buses, perfectly timed lights, flawlessly clean stations. But whenever you introduce this level of pervasive technology and data collection into the public sphere, you inevitably introduce massive friction points.
Oh, absolutely.
With all this tech, what are the blind spots?
The vulnerabilities are significant. The first is simply the cybersecurity shield protecting the data itself.
The UITC source had a quote that absolutely stopped me in my tracks. It was from Paul Gwynn, the UITP Cybersecurity Committee Chair. He noted that 85% of all breaches have a human factor in them. They're accidental.
When we think of cybersecurity, we tend to picture sophisticated hackers in dark rooms breaking through complex firewalls.
Right, like something out of a movie.
The reality is much more mundane. It is an employee accidentally clicking a phishing link in an email, or leaving a terminal unlocked at the depot, or misconfiguring a cloud storage bucket.
Which is terrifying.
Defending this massive transit data network is not just about buying better antivirus software. It is about building a culture of data literacy, from the bus driver all the way up to the CEO.
Because if that data is breached, you aren't just losing bus schedules. If a city is using account-based ticketing, a breach potentially exposes the real-time location data, travel habits, and payment information of millions of citizens.
It is vital infrastructure. But beyond security, the Urban Institute brings up profound concerns regarding equity and bias in these AI systems.
They really do. The Urban Institute report dives into some complex socio-political territory here regarding equity. And just to be clear to you listening, we are simply reporting on the findings presented in this research. We're not endorsing these specific viewpoints, but we want to convey the ideas they've laid out because they are a huge part of the conversation happening at the municipal level right now.
It's essential context.
They point out that AI tools are not neutral. They learn from historical data, and if that data has biases, the AI will replicate them.
A prime example they examine is facial recognition. Some transit agencies explore facial recognition for security or frictionless ticketing. However, the report states these tools are predominantly trained on datasets that skew white and male,
which creates obvious problems.
They note this can lead to potential racial discrimination and significant accuracy issues with darker skin tones, resulting in false flags or denied entry.
The report also looks at automated traffic enforcement. You increasingly see automated cameras being mounted on the front of buses or stationed at intersections to find drivers who block transit-designated lanes.
Keeping the bus moving is the goal, sure, but the Urban Institute points out that the placement of these cameras can have unintended consequences.
Right. The report argues that if cameras are disproportionately placed in certain neighborhoods, they can end up disproportionately fining drivers of color, simply based on geographic deployment rather than overall driving behavior across the whole city.
Exactly. And they even touch on voice-activated transit kiosks and AI language models.
What was their finding there?
The finding is that if a voice model hasn't been trained on a truly diverse set of voices, it can actively exclude users based on their regional accent, their primary language, or even just their tone of voice.
This brings us to the core synthesis of our deep dive today. This is exactly why a transit board or a city council cannot simply buy an AI off the shelf and plug it in.
The technology is far too powerful.
Right. Transit leadership needs a deep, fundamental understanding of both their operations and their equity frameworks before deploying anything. They need rigorous risk controls.
And that leads to the obvious question, how do cities actually do this safely?
Yes. How do they navigate this minefield of amazing potential and serious risk? That brings us to our final source, the City of Oakland Request for Information. Usually, municipal procurement documents are incredibly dry, but this reads like a masterclass in how a city should evaluate AI.
Oakland approached this with an incredible amount of caution and structure. Just look at the pilot structure itself. They didn't sign a 10-year, multi-million-dollar contract with an AI vendor. They structured this as a 16-week, no-cost pilot.
Meaning the AI companies build and test the solution for free for 16 weeks, and in exchange, they get real-world testing data and feedback from a major city.
This allows Oakland to test the product market fit. In conversational terms, they are testing whether the tech actually solves a real problem for the city on the ground before buying it.
Try before you buy.
Exactly. They get to see if the AI works without sinking a single dollar of taxpayer money into an unproven system. It's a brilliant de-risking strategy.
Their data governance terms are absolutely strict too. Oakland makes it crystal clear in their MOU, their Memorandum of Understanding with the vendor. The city retains all ownership rights to the data, period.
That is a critical detail.
The AI company cannot use Oakland citizen data to go train their own models for other commercial purposes. And tying back to our cybersecurity point earlier, if there is a data breach, the contractor has exactly 24 hours to notify the city, and they are legally required to preserve all forensic evidence.
They are putting the guardrails up before the engine is even turned on. But what I find most impressive about the Oakland document is the specificity of the use cases. They aren't just broadly asking for AI to make things faster.
I saw they had something like 31 specific use cases listed in the document. What kind of things are they actually looking to do with this technology?
They are specifically targeting AI at equity and accessibility. For example, they are looking for solutions they call Access Check AI and Civic Access AI. This involves using AI to automatically scan all of the city's digital documents to ensure they fully comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Wow, that's incredibly useful.
It also involves using AI to generate real-time American Sign Language avatars and multilingual captions for live public city council meetings.
So they are essentially using the technology to
actively dismantle language and accessibility barriers, yes. Another set of use cases involves OAK 311 and animal services.
How are they using it there?
Oakland wants multilingual chatbots to help non-English speaking residents navigate complex city services, report potholes, or even just get help through the pet adoption process in their native language.
One that completely blew my mind was the Public Ethics Commission use case. Oakland is asking for an AI platform specifically designed to reconcile campaign finance disclosure.
Yes, to follow the money.
Exactly. They want the AI to detect hidden pass-through contributions and financial anomalies to actively fight corruption. That is an incredibly sophisticated, targeted use of machine learning for public transparency.
What's fascinating here is how this Oakland procurement document perfectly aligns with a highly strategic concept from the Urban Institute source.
How so?
The Urban Institute argues that we should often view AI not as the final permanent solution, but as an interim catalyst.
An interim catalyst. What does that look like in practice on the streets?
The Urban Institute gives a great example from California. The state is using AI cameras to detect near-miss collisions at dangerous intersections. The end goal is not to leave those AI cameras there forever, to constantly police the intersection and hand out tickets.
And what is the point of the cameras?
The goal is to use the AI to gather definitive data on exactly how and why those near misses are happening. Are cars taking the turn too fast? Are pedestrians stepping out blindly?
Oh, I see.
Once the city has that data, they physically redesign the roadway. They might add a curb-separated bus lane, a pedestrian island, or alter the traffic light timing.
And once it's fixed?
Once the physical infrastructure is fixed and the intersection is safe, the AI is phased out and removed.
That is such a powerful shift in perspective. AI is the tool to shape the solution, not the solution itself.
Yeah.
You use the digital intelligence to build a better, safer physical reality, and then you don't need the surveillance network anymore.
It completely changes the risk-reward calculation of adopting these technologies.
Mm-hmm.
If you view them as temporary diagnostics to fix physical infrastructure rather than permanent fixtures of city life, the privacy concerns become much more manageable.
Well, this has been an incredible journey. Just to recap where we've been today, we started with the massive raw data sets that are fundamentally shifting transit from a point A to point B model into a seamless door-to-door experience.
The foundation.
Right. We saw how AI acts as the engine, turning that data into actionable magic, like same-day paratransit bookings and traffic lights that hold green for your bus.
The operational wins.
Yes, but we also learned from the Urban Institute in Oakland that without strict governance, without retaining data rights, and without a rock-solid equity framework, this technology is a liability.
That is the ultimate takeaway for you listening today. The next time you tap your phone to board a bus, or you see a new dedicated transit lane pop up in your neighborhood, or your train arrives exactly when the app said it would, you will know.
You'll know what's behind the curtain.
Right. You will know that there is an invisible, highly complex architecture of data, AI, and civic governance operating behind the scenes, making that exact moment of your day possible.
I want to leave you with one final provocative thought to mull over. As AI becomes perfectly integrated into our cities, anticipating our passenger flows, timing our traffic lights, and optimizing our routes to the absolute second if our cities become perfectly frictionless, Do we lose the serendipity of taking a wrong turn and discovering something new? Or does true seamless efficiency finally free up our mental energy to experience our cities more intentionally? Something to think about on your next commute.